Good morning. Call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It's 9:04 a.m. Please silence all cell phones. Present today are Senator Hoffman, Senator Wilson, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Olson, Senator Von Imhoff, and Co-Chair Stedman, myself, Chair Bishop. Today's agenda, SB 94, Education Supplemental Loan Programs, SB 81, Village Public Safety Officers. At this time, we're going to bring the Village Public Safety Officers grants back up. This is the third hearing for SB 81. We've heard public testimony on February 28th. Our intention is to consider an amendment currently on the table, cover fiscal notes, look to the will of the committee. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. During the last hearing, when we heard Senate Bill 81, I had presented some amendments. At this time, I want to make a motion to go ahead and remove that motion and pull the amendments off.
Okay. See any objection to removing the amendments? Seeing none, Senator Wilikowski, could you cover the fiscal notes, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There are two fiscal notes. The first one is OMB component 3200. It's in the Department of Public Safety appropriation statewide support. The bill authorizes fingerprint submission to the Department of Public Safety for state and national criminal background check. DPS anticipates being able to absorb these additional duties with existing staff, so there's a zero fiscal note on that. The second fiscal note is OMB component 3047. It's in the Department of Public Safety Village Public Safety Officer Program. It is for $122,200 in FY23 and then $107,300 in FY24 going forward. It funds a long-term non-permanent background investigator position that will be required to conduct background investigations at an annual cost of $100,900. The bill also requires successful completion of psychological examination for VPSOs who carry firearms. The cost for 50 VPSOs to receive psychological testing in FY23 is estimated to be $425 per person or $21,250, and then going forward is estimated to be $6,375 based on an average of 15 new VPSOs per year.
Thank you. Any further committee discussion? Senator Olson, I have a motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Senate Bill 81-32-LS0362/I from committee with the attached fiscal notes and individual committee recommendations.
Seeing no objection, the bill moves from the committee. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the committee document and get our next presenters loaded up. Back on the record, next up is SB 94. This will be the first hearing of SB 94. Our intention is to hear a bill introduction, sexual analysis, here invited in public testimony, set the bill aside. Santa Eford, Executive Director, last Commission on Post-Secondary Education. We do have available for questions Julie Pierce, Chief Finance Officer, Student Loan Corporation, Tim Webb, Hilltop Securities, and former Senator Anna McKinnon. Ms. McKinnon, would you like to join us at the table just for grins? Are you okay back there? Okay, well, I can't guarantee you, but he might be up here before it's over. Santa?
Good morning.
Effer, please go ahead and introduce yourself for the record.
Yes. Good morning, Chair Bishop and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning and present SB 94 to the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Santa Eford. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education and the Executive Officer for the Alaska Student Loan Corporation. I would like to quickly give a brief overview of what the bill does and why the Student Loan Corporation and the Commission are proposing this legislation for your consideration. The Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education supports Alaskans' access to and success in post-secondary education and career training after high school. The mission of the Alaska Student Loan Corporation is they operate as an enterprise agency of the state of Alaska, funding and facilitating the Alaska Student Loan Program and the related work of the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. This bill, SB 94, an act relating to the Education Loan Program and Alaska Supplemental Education Loan Program, does three things that the corporation is in agreement with the commission are asking. This bill will expand the eligibility for the Alaska Refinance Loan Program. Currently, the Refinance Loan Program is available to Alaska residents only. The proposed legislation also expands the eligibility pool to include a previous borrower, co-signer, or a beneficiary of a current Alaska Student Loan Corporation loan, and an additional expansion of the pool to include graduates of Alaska high schools and post-secondary institutions. The second piece of the bill is asking to remove specific loan limits that are set in statute for our in-school student loans and give the authority to the Alaska Student Loan Corporation Board to set limits annually through their quarterly meetings with public hearings and testimony. The third piece of this bill asks to add clarifying language that allows the commission to offer student loan borrowers a loan program with the option for immediate repayment.
Any questions on this page before we go to the next page? Senator Olson.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Mr. Eford, are there problems with the loan program as it is now that you need to have this legislation go through to expand its horizons?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, in the next part, quickly I am going to show why we need this and the two purposes for this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Please continue.
So, as Senator Olson just asked, why is this bill necessary? And we are trying, the corporation and the commission are trying to achieve two goals. We are responding to what we have heard from students, borrowers, and families in Alaska for their financial needs for their post-secondary programs. And we are also working to maintain the financial stability of the Alaska Student Loan Corporation to ensure we have funds for future financial education needs of Alaskans. And briefly,
Thank you. So if a student says respond to the needs and requests of borrowers and post-secondary institution. So when you say borrowers, are people going, are students going to banks and being turned down? Or are banks providing school loans? Or what's happening with the commercial banks in Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, yes, we are finding, let me show you this slide quickly, and I can go back, but this is the financial underpinning of this bill that we're trying to ensure the financial stability of the corporation. So over a number of years since 2010, as you can see, our loan portfolio has experienced quite a runoff. And there are a number of reasons that I will go into in detail. But yes, students and families in Alaska are borrowing to go to for their education needs or post-secondary needs. They are borrowing from private lenders, other lenders that in our research, they are paying higher interest cost for those loans.
Follow up, Senator?
So what the state is doing is competing with the private banking industry. So if the state could, for example, provide car loans at 4% versus the 7 or 8 commercial banks in Alaska provide car loans for 6%, so what you're saying is the state could do it lower. They're willing to take a lower return. They have more of a backstop, whatever it may be. Their risk-reward ratio is lower. So you're saying then that, because I'm looking at your next slide, private loans generally cost more, have lower approval rates, and are less transparent. That's probably true. But that doesn't mean that the state should be competing, because, yeah, it can offer lower rates, like it can with a boat loan, like it does already with DCCED, like it does with all sorts of different loans, because the state does lower rates, has a less risk profile. Is that fair?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, the legislature established the corporation for the mission and the purpose of providing education loans for students to attend post-secondary education. So this is the mission and the purpose for the corporation and the commission. So we are working to sustain that mission.
Last comment. So from my understanding, students will go into a bank, ask to be declined, to get a decline letter, to take it to the state to get approval from the state loan at 2% lower rate. Just so everyone's aware, this is what's happening.
Oh, I would say that could cut both ways. If you brought a deke, you can't get a loan at one bank, and you go to the Student Loan Corporation, you have to
look at the details on the decline letter, but that's just my two cents. Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you. Can you explain this chart to me? What is a loan portfolio runoff?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, this is showing since June of 2008, the Student Loan Corporation at that time had $700 million in loans, and as of June 19th, $213 million. And what this shows, if I can go to the next slide, the reasons behind this portfolio runoff, which relates to the revenue and the financial bottom line for the corporation to sustain the finances to provide additional loans, are a number of things. The federal government, the Federal Family Education Loan Program was administered by states for the federal government up until 2010. In 2010, the federal government said states will no longer provide these loans. The federal government will now provide the direct loans. And so then states no longer were originating those loans. That's one of the largest pieces of why the portfolio has declined. Students are paying off those loans, and we're not originating any more federal loans through that program. Also at the time, the mortgage crisis that was happening impacted investor confidence, and the federal government required that more rigorous underwriting standards were applied to student loans. There's also been a decline in college enrollment rates, as I'm sure you've heard from President Pitney. I know in her presentation talked about the decline in enrollment in post-secondary here. There are also, during this time period from 2010 to current, the federal government now does not allow financial aid offices or institutions to suggest to students any preferred lenders. Therefore, they cannot share that the state of Alaska has a loan program that may benefit the student. Also, we all know the current conversation around student loans, and that student loans now are being perceived as all are inherently bad, which what research has shown is that if a student has a full financial package to attend their post-secondary program of choice, that they are more likely to complete that program, and they are able to enter the workforce sooner. They're providing, they have a job sooner. They're repaying those loans. They're being a productive member of Alaska's economy and workforce. And more recently, some of the runoff, of course, has been due to the COVID pandemic. We continue to see declines in Alaska's enrollment rates in post-secondary programs. And again, like I said, the federal student loan forgiveness conversation now, where students are banking on a possible forgiveness of federal loans, and so not taking out other loans, waiting to see if that might be a possibility.
Let's go back to where we were at before we went off the rails a little bit and start there on slide. There you go.
Yes, back to slide number 5.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, can I go back to slide 4? Actually, like slide 3.
Let's go back to the beginning.
Well, no, just one of the questions that I have is the second bullet point where it expands the eligibility of Alaska loans. It's number 2, previous borrowers, co-signers, whatever. So if somebody was a resident of the state of Alaska, got a loan, then moved outside and is a resident of another state, is he eligible for a loan as well for going back to school, even though he's not an Alaska resident? Am I reading this wrong?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I want to clarify we're talking about two different loans. So the first bullets relate to what is the Alaska refinance loan. In 2016, the legislature authorized a refinance program for Alaskans that had an Alaska student loan with the corporation or other education loans, and they could refinance that, and they had to be an Alaska resident physically living in the state. We are now asking to expand that pool that for the refinance loans and to include, again, what we've heard from our borrowers. They will say, we have an Alaska student loan corporation loan currently. They now live out of state, but they're like, we can't refinance that loan, although you gave us a loan to begin with. And our refinance loan pool is has a lower interest rate because we have higher credit criteria required for those loans. And so we are asking, again, if we go back to the finance piece, trying to meet two of our goals, if we can increase our refinance loan pool to still contain students that have a nexus, still have a connection to Alaska. They may not be an Alaska resident, but they either have a current loan from us, or we're also saying they were graduates of an Alaska high school or an Alaska post-secondary institution, that they would be available for, they would be eligible for this loan program.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Under that scenario, for somebody living outside the state of Alaska, and what are the chances of defaulting on that loan if they, if indeed they do, and what kind of reparations can the state do to make sure its portfolio doesn't get drained?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, again, for this program, the refinance loans, we have, this program has been in existence now since 2016. We have a zero default rate on that loan program, again, because we have high credit standards and requirements for this program, and it has been, it actually is one of the only loan programs currently that are increasing for the Student Loan Corporation, providing some financial stability and revenues for the corporation.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can a non-resident be eligible for these loans if I'm within the state of Alaska?
For the refinance loans, that we are asking to expand that pool for someone that is no longer an Alaska resident, but again, they still have a nexus and a connection either through having a current Alaska student loan or that they graduated from Alaska high school or a post-secondary institution. I would also, I have online for questions. Yes.
Can I? I want to see if I can cut right to the chase on this answer. You're wanting to expand that, so you want to maintain this zero default rate.
Expanding the pool of our refinance loans helps the bottom line for the corporation, which then supports having the financial stability to provide student in-school student loans that are for Alaska residents only.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Wilikowski?
Could you get us the data on the default rates for these students that you're looking to expand eligibility for? Because I think a lot of Alaskans would say we want to encourage people to stay in Alaska. If they took advantage of a loan program and then they bolted immediately after they graduated, why should we be providing them with incentives? So from my perspective, I would want to see some pretty hard data that shows this is going to somehow benefit the state.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, the default information that we have right now on the program that are currently in the refinance loan, we have a zero percentage of defaults on that program. I don't believe I could predict or have a prediction of what the default rate, but as I stated, we have very high credit criteria for the refinance program.
Senator Wilikowski? Yes.
Okay, but yeah, I'd be interested in seeing the overall default rates and then some sort of projections on how this is going to change. I understand you have a zero default rate on the refinancing. I'm just curious what the default rate is right now and how you expect that to change if you allow out-of-state students to refinance.
Through the chair, I will look into being able to see what we can provide for that. We absolutely have our default rates for our in-school student loans that we can provide.
Send that to the committee and we'll get it distributed.
Yes. Thank you, Chair.
No further questions here, so I think now we can go back to slide 5.
So So again, as I was saying, we have heard from our students that are needing finances to attend their post-secondary, and we have heard from financial aid officers within the state of Alaska that our loans, with changing the loan limits, right now the loan limits that are in statute are not meeting the unmet financial need for students that are attending post-secondary programs. And we also know that our students or our families in Alaska are taking out student loans and through other avenues, and they are paying higher interest rates for those loans. So Alaska loan programs were set to help fill the cost gap with low-cost, high-quality loans at the best interest rate that we can provide for Alaskans.
Please continue.
Again, just some information. This is nationally, 47% of college graduates are borrowing money, and the average debt is around $26,000. Again, as I stated earlier, we know that the conversation around student loan debt nationally, and I want to say that student loan debt is certainly at the forefront of ACPE and the corporation's consideration. We are always mindful of the drain on students and families faced with large loan repayment. Student loans are a viable way to cover the unmet need for students to attend their higher education dreams, but they must be done in a responsible manner. And as I think I stated earlier, research shows that students who have a full financial aid package that covers the cost of attendance are more likely to complete their program and successfully repay their loans. And as you can see, again, Alaska students on average pay $6,400 to $20,100 less over the life of their loan by borrowing from ACPE.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. So, Ms. Ifrid, you're doing a very good job representing your program. That's not my issue. My issue is philosophical. And so I'm just putting it out there in the ethos for anybody who may be listening. For folks who are budget hawks and looking to at every dollar that the state pays, the question that we should ask is, should the state be in business that directly competes with the private sector? Yes, the state has deeper pockets. It can choose to provide lower rates. Should we? If the state offered the same rates as a commercial bank in Alaska, what would that look like? Would students, what would be the benefits of going with an Alaskan loan versus a commercial bank if the rates were the same, or if the evaluation of the portfolio or the applicant was the same? It's just a philosophical question. I understand the benefits. You're spelling them out great. It is, you can see the benefits. But maybe the state should start lending for cars and for snow machines and for boats. Well, we already do for boats. Why don't we just go in and just take over the lending functions for across the state? I'm being tongue-in-cheek, but you can see the point. We have 7 banks here in Alaska that are trying to make a living, and they employ very good people across the state. And the state is going in and taking their business. ADA does that. I mean, the state just goes in and acts as a bank. I don't think it's right. Thank you.
Senator Wilikowski, then Senator Hoffman.
Thank you.
Senator Wilson, sorry.
How do the interest rates compare between what the state is offering and what the private banking industry offers?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I don't have an exact comparison for each of those programs. However, as stated, on average, the last slide was the calculation of an average savings over the life of the loan if they would take a loan with ACPE. I do have our, I can, again, my chief finance officer is online and could provide our current interest rates. But one of the pieces, and I think this goes to Senator Von Imhoff, your concerns and your questions. One of the things for the state, we try to provide financial literacy trainings also for students, and so that they are, that they understand what they're doing when they're taking out a loan. We also encourage, we want to be in our loan program the very last dollars and only meet whatever that very gap is. We encourage Alaskans to take out their federal loans first, go for the Alaska Performance Scholarship. We also have, we encourage them to look at the institution that they're going to. Are there scholarships available there? And so for our loans, we have to certify with a school. For instance, if a student is going to the University of Alaska and they apply for a loan with the ACPE, we look at, we, in our process for loans, ask them and encourage them, have you done all of these other pieces and looked for free money, scholarships, and grants? And then we work with the financial aid office for that institution, and that is certified that this is a true need for the student. The student is enrolled in that program, and the money goes directly to the school. A private loan could go directly to the individual. And so we're trying to have checks and balances in place to ensure that Alaskans are not over-borrowing, that they are borrowing for a purpose of completion. There's also a yearly attestation that this student is either an Alaska resident, or if they're out of state attending school that they intend, they have to attest, just like if they were out of state for the PFD, that they are, their intention is to come back. They are not applying for residency in another state. So that's for student loans. I'm also, I'm sorry, I think I had one other one other point that I've maybe lost now. But with the mission and what the legislature set in statute for us to do, we are trying to provide that funding for this, for our families, students, in a very responsible way to help them complete. Oh, I'm sorry, I know I was gonna say, also each year, we work and ensure that that student is still working toward progress and completion of their program. For their loan, for the next year's loan. And so we feel like that we have quite a few checks and balances in place to promote completion of the programs that the students are starting and to help Alaskans and eventually to help the workforce needs of Alaska. And I would also, I want to ensure that the committee understands there are no general funds in the Student Loan Corporation. All the funding for the loans is actually through the investments and the revenue returns on the loans and the interest that comes back to the corporation.
Senator Wilson, then Senator Hoffman, and Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Will this program also provide loan consolidation for federal programs?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, yes, if we also ensure that, or we also educate the student that if they have a, this is for the refinance loan program only, that if they have a federal loan, that if they refinance it, refinance through us, that it did not compromise any forgiveness or any federal benefits that they may have.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that that education was provided for those borrowers that may qualify for future. Thank you.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. From my viewpoint, education is very important, and that is why I think many first Alaskan corporations, Native corporations, both regional and village, offer not only low-interest loans but also grants, because we want our population to be educated, not necessarily do we want them to be driving cars or driving snow machines, but we want them educated, and that is why I think the First Alaskans are moving in that direction and trying to get our population as educated as possible. And I think that is the same purpose, that Alaska should be doing the same. And I fully support the state of Alaska entering into these programs, whether it is subsidized or not subsidized. Anything we can do to have a better educated population in the state of Alaska, I think, is a good thing. But the question that I have relating to the program is, can you provide me with the breakdown of what is the ratio between urban and rural Alaska that are participating in this program? Provide to my office whenever you can. That would be greatly appreciated, Mr. Chairman.
Just to dovetail on Senator's request, percentage of ethnicity, too, please, of the loan originators. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on a couple of earlier questions or concerns from members, I think it'd be nice if we had the presenter put together in table format some of these loan comparisons, so we can see what the federal government's doing and what the state has, and the interest rates, and it'd make it a lot easier for the comparisons. And then on, as far as the concern being expressed dealing with commercial banks and other lenders, I share that concern in many ways, but one of the issues that come up is there's a lot of young Alaskans that their families don't have the wherewithal, or there is no parents, or there's one parent, they don't have the wherewithal to co-sign or do much of any help. And some families, some young Alaskans, don't get any help, period, from their parents at all. So we need to have a system where those Alaskans could also gain stature with increased education. I think we need to try to balance those issues. I know in my extended family, I have some cousins that don't have any wherewithal. There was no parents to sign anything. So we need to make sure we give them opportunity also. So maybe in the format question, we can have, like as previously asked, a geographical breakdown. And I'd like to also see, on this chart, the bottom of the chart positively impacting higher education doesn't quite fit with the chart, but a little more detail on it. It just looks like loan balances, but we need a little more history on it, financial history of it, the other component parts.
Thank you. Chair Stedman, next time they come back, I know they'll have those updated charts and information.
Yes, through the chair.
This is just your shakedown cruise, right? You're getting all the bugs out of it. No other questions. Please continue with the next slide, please.
So, as I said, with the loan portfolio runoff, I've already mentioned a number of the reasons why this has happened. I'm happy to go back through any of those if there's any more clarification. This slide really goes to the question Senator Stedman just have of some of the more specifics about why the loan portfolio has declined over the last number of years. Again, with the elimination of the federal loan program for states, it was taken back. So those loan originations dropped precipitously. The decline in enrollment, preferred lender prohibitions, and those other reasons that I've also mentioned. So I also wanted to share with the committee that this legislation is really a piece of the puzzle. The commission and the corporation have been working together over the past 5 years to shore up or to provide for the financial soundness of the corporation through multiple other actions that they've taken. The commission has implemented a lean process, which is looking at all of our processes and procedures, focusing on customer service, ensuring that we're not duplicating and that we're doing our work with the highest level of efficiency. And over the past 5 years, we have seen a savings of over almost $1 million. We have also taken an over 27% reduction in our operating budget over the past 5 years, including staffing reductions of almost 50% during that time. We're looking at our lease space and our physical footprint and reducing it. We did implement with the legislature the refinance loan program, which is the loan program that is growing, building a $20 million portfolio in that program. I would also like to say one piece for refinance. Students that have loans with us are looking at losing loans refinancing to other entities, and our refinance loan program helps to keep our students within our loan portfolio, again to shore up the financial soundness of the corporation. We have also in this past year done a major review of our investment policy with the help of the corporation board and determined that there were cost savings if we switched our management and investment portfolio to the Department of Revenue, which we have done. We have also revised our loan programs to ensure that we have credit criteria that supports the financial soundness, again, of those loans. We've redeemed the outstanding bond notes that we had to provide cost reductions related to administering those bonds. This current legislation is a piece of the puzzle of helping shore up the corporation, and we also are looking internally at other strategies that would provide additional education and support for our loan borrowers and other ways that we could ensure we have the finances and funding to support Alaskans' financial needs.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Von Emmerich.
Thank you. So just kind of going back, on slide 7, that's as of June 2019, it was $213 million. Is that what I'm reading correctly?
Correct.
Okay, so how many employees manage the $213 million portfolio?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I have the total number for the commission. I would have to... So currently, the commission has a total number of 52 PCNs. We have, I think, 46 that are actually filled at this time, but not every one of those positions are associated with the loan portfolio or with the loan programs. Some of those also administer the state financial aid programs, the performance scholarship, the Alaska Education Grant, the WAMI program, and some of our other education. But we have a total of 46, I believe, filled positions.
Follow up?
So in my previous world, prior to politics, I was in the banking industry, and I had a portfolio of about $15 million. And with that in mind, about 14 employees could manage $213 million. So that's just the loan officers, if we had it that way. And a $15 million portfolio for one loan officer was pretty low. Generally, they're a lot higher. So 53 PCNs, and I understand that you discussed that they're over the WAMI program and performance scholarships, but I think one of the questions that we may want to ask is how many student loans do you have of the 213? So, and perhaps maybe even some of the other programs, if they're handy. 53 PCNs seems to be quite a bit. And, you know, you said that this program doesn't have UGF money. That's not true. The PCNs are UGF money. I mean, this program costs money from the undesignated general fund to help manage it as well. At least that's the information that I have.
Through the chair, the funding for the commission for the loan, there is no general funds. The money comes through the corporation receipts. So Alaska Student Loan Corporation receipts fund the operating budget for the commission, except for there's around 500,000 in that was higher education investment funds that supported the administrative cost for the Alaska Performance Scholarship, the Education Grant, and WAMI. All the other funding in our budget for the operations and administration are Student Loan Corporation receipts. And this, of course, this amount, the 213, is the loan portfolio. The operating budget, this is not our operating budget. The operating budget, of course, is a separate number. So, and I believe our interagency receipts that come from the Loan Corporation to fund the programs is around $9
million. Follow up?
Thank you. So you had talked earlier about having zero defaults. Does that include, it says in slide 9, building a $20 million refinance portfolio? Were you refinancing several of these loans as a form of a workout in order to help students who may not have a job or something along that line that can't make their payments? So was there a significant refinance or workout programs to help the default rate?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, not to my understanding. Again, our refinance program has very high underwriting and credit criteria requirements, and one of the requirements for that program is that they would have no adverse credit events on their credit report. So I want to double check and ensure that I understand your question correctly and make sure that I'm providing the correct information. But
last comment?
Follow up?
Thank you. Yes, I would like to see just how the rewrites, refinancing, or how the defaults are being managed, or workouts for the different borrowers. But I think you're making my point is if there are no defaults, these are A-plus borrowers, which basically you are competing with banks, because a bank would give, if there's no defaults, and banks always have defaults, if there are no defaults in this program, then these borrowers are top-notch borrowers that a bank allegedly, we would think, would provide them a loan.
Through the chair, Von Imhoff, and again, I'm not saying there are no defaults in our student loan, in-school student loan. This is just for the recent refinance program that's been in existence since 2016 or 17. And yes, they are high-quality borrowers. We were trying to attract This was my understanding when the legislature set the refinance program. It was to help shore up and ensure the financial soundness of the corporation to attract high-quality borrowers to the portfolio to help support the in-school student loans that Alaskans need to obtain their education dreams.
Please continue. I think we're back to, there you go. Okay. Ms. Eifert, are you ready to walk us through the sectional?
Yes, let me, you should have.
Before you do that, I got one last question, so I think. All that's been said here today, I think I heard that Alaska Student Loan Corporation is actually the last line of defense for a borrower. If they fail here, 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 and here, you're there to maybe help them if they qualify? To qualify for a student loan? Because we talked about, we're going to look at, did we do federal loans? Did we explore federal loans first? Did we, you listed off, I think, three categories, and it appeared that maybe we were last in line to help somebody if they couldn't get it on the front end.
Chair Bishop, the point that I was trying to make was that a loan should be the very last dollars that a student gets to meet that unmet financial need. And yes, we are encouraging always our students to look for the free money. Mm-hmm. One other piece I would throw out for this committee, some data and information, is that Alaska is the very bottom, number 51 actually in the country, for completion of the FAFSA, which is the Free Application for Financial Student Aid. It is a very important part of helping our students meet their financial education needs. The commission over the past number of years, and especially last year, and we have a current initiative going on for FAFSA completion, because we know that Alaska students, again, are filling out that FAFSA at the lowest rate in the country, so we are leaving federal dollars on the table that would help our students either not need a loan or need a much smaller loan if we could encourage Alaskans to fill out and to accept the federal financial grants that they're entitled to.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Von Emmo.
So I just wanted to clarify, you asked whether this particular state program is the last in line, and Ms. Eifert stated that a loan of any kind should be the last money, I think is what you said, to try to get the free money and the scholarships first, but a loan, whether it be state or private bank or federal, should be the last money, regardless of the origin. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I would say the best loan for the student with the best options for them with the lowest repayment. And
follow up, Mr. Chairman, and I agree with you clearly, that's the best option, but if all things are equal and a private lending institution versus the state and you're offering 2% lower, of course a student will and should go to the state. Of course. But what we're leaving is our banking industry high and dry. So how are they going to survive when they do have to do boat loans and snow machine loans and house loans and so forth? It's just, I agree with you that students and families should seek for the cheapest money. Absolutely. But should the state be the cheapest money? Of course I support education. I was on the school board for 3 years. Of course I do, but I also support the state as a whole. And if we're going to move our state forward economically and we want to start having new businesses come in town, we need to have lending institutions being able to do it. Thank you.
Okay. Would you walk us through the sectional analyses, please?
Yes. Through the chair, this should be in your packet, SB 94, Education Supplemental Loan Program Sectional Analysis. Section 1 of the bill amends the student loan corporation statutes, consolidation of loans by expanding the population eligible to apply for Alaska refinancing loans to include previous Alaska borrowers and graduates from Alaska high schools and post-secondary institutions, as well as the current Alaska residents that are eligible. Section 2 amends loan award maximums and the use of the loan award by eliminating the loan maximums in statute, and that is on page, I'm sorry, I'm not referring to the bill. So if you have the bill in front of you, that is page 2, section 2, lines 8 through through the end of that page, and the loan amount. So we're asking that the maximum in statute providing for the loan corporation board to set the annual loan maximums. Section 3 applies to the loan award maximums by eliminating the lifetime loan maximums in statute and providing for the corporation to set those maximums. Section 4, again, is applicable to the loan award maximums, removing the loan with a conforming change to, Section 4, loan award maximums, use of loan award with a conforming change to allow the corporation to set loan limits for half-time and full-time loans. So sections 2, 3, and 4 are all for changing or taking the loan limits out of statute and providing the Alaska Loan Student Loan Corporation Board the ability to set those loan amounts.
Senator Wilikowski has a question, I believe.
I do. Thank you. Going back to page 1 on line 11, it talks about a previous borrower, co-signer, or beneficiary, and I'm just curious what beneficiary would be. How is that different than a borrower?
I'm not sure I can answer that question right now at the moment. A beneficiary would be, there could be a, I'm sorry, I think this would apply to our family education loans. So a loan can be taken out by a parent for the benefit or the beneficiary of their child.
Get back to us. Let you research that. And you get back to us with the, make sure your answer is correct to the committee. Senator Wilikowski, follow up?
Yeah, and then just on increasing the amounts in section 2 and section 3. So the current amounts are $14,000 for undergrad, $15,000 for graduate student, and then there's totals in section 3. And I'm just wondering about the wiseness of opening that up to, I guess, really an unlimited amount, and whether or not we're maybe crowding out students. If we increase that number too much, maybe there's fewer dollars that are available for other students. I'm just wondering if maybe increasing the amount to account for inflation and then maybe tying it to inflation might be a better way.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, the Corporation Board considered continuing to have the amounts in statute and increasing those loan amounts. However, after their discussions, they decided that it would be, there would be a public informed discussion with the corporation board to determine the loan amounts on an annual basis. We would also provide through staff doing research and data, looking at current tuition rates for our in-state tuitions, and also working with those financial aid offices to determine what is the unmet need for students, and so that the corporation board would have that data and information to make an informed decision about what the loan amount should look like on an annual basis. And again, to remind you, some of the checks and balances that are in place already for the certification through the institutions and other things that are in place to keep the loan amounts balanced against what students' true needs are.
Senator Hoffman and then Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since this legislation is proposing to give additional responsibilities to the board, can you refresh our memories as to what is the composition of the board on a regional basis, the number of people on the board, and how do they, are they ratified by the legislature? Do you have that information, or can you provide that at a later date?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I do have that information. The corporation board is set in statute, and it consists of the Commissioner of Revenue, the Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development, and the Commissioner of Administration, or their designees. And then there are two members from the post-secondary commission that cross over and sit on the corporation board. And those members, I believe, are public members that are appointed to the commission by the governor that cross over to the corporation. So there are five members of the board.
So of those five members, are any of them residents of rural Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, currently, of the members right now. I have one vacancy in one of the commission members. The current commission member that is sitting on the corporation, I believe, is from a rural area, but I will get back with you on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Efren, the previous committee added a report to the legislature, and I'm not a huge fan of continuous death marches by reports to the administration. Does the APCE, don't they deliver an annual report that would accomplish evaluating benefits to the students of Alaska by the loan?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, the commission does provide an almanac of higher education, which will be coming to the legislature in the next month, I believe, and we absolutely could incorporate this information into that. But the commission is not opposed to providing a report.
Okay, I was just going to offer to set sunset or remove reports. I just feel that we've asked for several reports that just sit, and those legislators oftentimes aren't around to review them after they initiate them. So I just want to see if this is something that you wanted to do or not have to have that onerous burden on. But it sounds like you want to have to continuous death march. So,
Ms. Eford, in this presentation, were any of these suggested changes brought by the clients, meaning the students, feedback from students?
Senator Bishop, Chair Bishop, yes, we are responding to what we have heard from students' needs and financial aid offices.
Thank you, ma'am. Do we have one more, or are we done with the sectional analysis? Did you have
There's one more piece of the legislation that we really haven't discussed yet, but it is a positive. So Section 5 amends repayment of loans by providing for the commission to offer an option to future student loan borrowers, a loan program with immediate repayment requirements. And currently, our student loans are deferred while students are in school. When they graduate or complete their program, they have 6 months. Then they begin repayment of their loan. However, we are asking that the commission also have the ability to offer to students an immediate repayment. So if a student enters University of Alaska, they have a loan, they can begin repayment of that loan immediately, which saves them interest cost over the life of the loan. It also provides helps a student build credit quicker, and it also gets them into the habit of making their repayments, and that they are less likely then to default later on their loan. And so this is just a good option to provide our borrowers. And then, as Senator Wilson pointed out, there were two amendments to the bill from Senate Education for a report to be included.
Okay. Senator Stepman, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just have a question on the prepayment. My understanding is you can't block prepayment of loans, and you can pay them off anytime you want to. So there must have been something changed along the way over the years. So maybe you can help me with that.
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, this really is clarifying language for us. You are correct. A student, they can pay their loans at any time. They could choose to repayment now and not wait until after they graduate. The Department of Law, when we went and said we wanted to actually offer this in a loan, in a promissory note for a student if they wanted to start this, we just needed a clarifying language to ensure that we actually could do this. You are correct. They could repay their loans at any point in time.
Wait, follow-up, Senator?
Well, it just seems kind of redundant. I mean, that's kind of a basic premise in the loans, and I think that's actually most likely federal. Is my understanding from back in the day when I used to work around some mortgage issues a long time ago. So it sounds to me a little redundant. But maybe you could check and see if there's been some law or statute changes along the way that block a borrower's ability to early pay a loan. I don't think it exists.
Through the chair, I believe you're correct, Senator Stedman. Again, we were told by the Department of Law that we couldn't actually include the immediate repayment necessarily in a promissory note for the loan program with the student. And so this was just to provide that specific option if students wanted to say yes, I want to have this. I want to make a payment every single month to repay this loan early. So it really is for a clarifying purpose.
Thank you, Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah. What's the demand for these loans, and do we have enough money to meet the demand right now?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, yes, our projections show that we do have, for the current demand, as you can see, the loan portfolio, our originations have been declining. However, we are anticipating, we've actually seen an increase in originations for our refinance loans. And again, with increase in loan originations, also would come the additional revenue generated through the interest that would provide the funds to cover the loan increases in originations.
Follow up, Senator Wilichowski.
Just wondering if you've done any sort of analysis on, I'm still concerned when I look at Section 3, the total cap right now is $56,000 for undergrad, $60,000 for graduate program. If the caps are removed, we see private schools now that are hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm concerned about us getting in a situation where we're denying the opportunity for more kids to go to school, maybe at UAA, and increasing the opportunities for people of privilege to go to, well, richer schools, much more expensive schools. So I'm just curious, I am concerned about completely removing that cap. I'm just curious where UAA stands on this, if they have a position.
Through the chair, Senator Wilichowski, there is a letter of support from the university in your packet of information. Because as stated, and I believe Senator Chair Bishop asked, we have heard from financial aid offices that there is a need to increase the loan amounts because they are not meeting the gap between what students need to complete their full financial package.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have approval rates? What percentage of the applicants are approved in the current year and in previous years?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, we do have that. I don't have that off the top of my head, but I can provide that for you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
On that point, Mr. Chairman, when you get the approval rates for those loans that you have out for education, I'd like to see what the spread is between the rural students and the urban students as well, because when I was a participant in the Alaska State Student Loan Program a number of years ago, and it was a very good thing that happened, but it was, even for myself at the time, which had very little sophistication, it was a hard time getting through the process. So I'd like to know what the spread is for the distribution of loans that were spread across the state.
Yes, we will get that information for you. Thank you.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. And I don't know if you track this information, but if a student is only requesting, for example, from Nome, $10,000, is it because he or she only qualifies for $10,000 or because they've received a bunch of other sources of funds, and i.e. the loan is the top-off grant that I discussed earlier? I don't know if you track that, but that could be relevant.
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I'm not sure either, but I have staff that I'm sure will let me know if we can do that, and we will have that information.
Seeing no further questions, we're going to go to our invited testimony at this time. And before we do that, I just want to take a brief of these. Nobody go anywhere. Well, Senator Hoffman's going to go anyway. Back on the record, first up for our invited testimony is Mr. Donner, Senior Managing Director, Hilltop Security. Mr. Donner, can you hear us?
Yes, I can, Mr. Chair.
If you'd put yourself and name and affiliation on the record in 2 minutes, please, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, my name is Lee Donner. I'm a senior managing director with Hilltop Securities. Hilltop Securities National Headquarters is based in Dallas, Texas. I head up the firm's student loan finance practice. We are a financial advisor to the Alaska Student Loan Corporation and have been for over 15 years. We are also financial advisor, municipal advisor to about 8 or 10 other state agency or 501c3 not-for-profit student loan corporations around the country.
Thank you. Do you support the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I do. If you would like, I can expand on that support a little bit with respect to each one of the three components.
No, we're good. If you support the bill, that's all we need to know.
Through the Chair, Bishop, if you would allow
That's fine. Go
Mr.
ahead.
Donner to provide his testimony.
Please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll make it brief. With respect to the first provision, the expansion of the eligibility criteria for the refinance program, one of the problems that the Alaska Student Loan Corporation has, and Santa did a good job of putting this into context, is the scale of the state's loan program post-2010 with the elimination of the Federal Family Education Loan Program has been shrinking. The elimination of the FFELP program reduced the volume of loans the corporation was making. That volume was further reduced by the corporation tightening up eligibility criteria from a credit perspective to lower unacceptable default rates, particularly in the in-school program. This expansion of the eligibility pool for refi loans would simply conform the eligibility of the Alaska Student Loan Program with federal tax law and with what all other state agency and 501c3 student loan corporations do. Nexus generally has two prongs. You're either a resident of the state, or if you're not a resident, a resident of another state, you're attending an institution within that state. That is standard federal tax code criteria for Nexus. Alaska is the only student loan program in the country that voluntarily further shrinks the eligible pool. Expanding the definition would give the corporation a very slight increase, in our opinion, in loan volume because don't have that many that are from other states attending school. So it would be a minor expansion of the program, but that would be it would be in conformity with the tax code and with other state programs. And would slightly increase volume, which would help offset the declining portfolio size. The second change is the proposal to move setting the loan limits from statute to the corporation board. It does not eliminate loan limits. It simply changes who sets those loan limits. The problem with having those embedded in statute is it just takes too long to go through the legislative process and amend loan limits to respond to on-the-ground conditions. The corporation board is in a better position to know whether the loan limits are too big or too small and need modification. You would still have a governing body setting those loan limits. The only other state that has it embedded in statute is state of Texas, and that's because here in Texas the student loan program is funded by general obligation bonds issued by the state. The state is on the hook for the bonds issued to fund those loans. So they keep the loan program size limitations at the legislative level. In Alaska, you're funding the loans, as Santa said, with receipts coming in off the existing portfolio. The state is not on the hook for those funds. If they issue debt, it's a student loan revenue bond issue secured by the loans originated with those funds. So it would be entirely appropriate, in our opinion, for that setting those loan limits to occur at the corporation board level. It's faster. They're better informed and more aware of what the needs of the education community are. The third change, I want to make clarification there, is the option to begin immediate repayment. And as Sana pointed out, any borrower can repay any of the corporation's loans at any time. What this does is allow a borrower to elect, voluntarily elect, to make a loan that requires payment from the get-go, even if it's interest only. It's not really just a clarification of the fact that a borrower can pay at any time, which they already have. Under this option, a borrower can voluntarily elect to take out a form of ASLC loan that does, in fact, require payments from probably 30 days after origination. Studies around the country have shown that loans that have some form of repayment from the beginning, even if it's interest only, even if it's a modest payment, result in lower delinquency rates. And so that is a net positive. All three of these, in our opinion, are net positives for the program, for its financial underpinnings, and for the borrowers. Thank you.
All right, seeing no questions, we're going to go next to Mr. Bicknella, Chair of the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. Can you hear us, Chair Bicknella?
Yes, good morning.
If you'd put yourself on the record and give us some comments here.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you, Chair Bishop. My name is Josh Bicknella. I'm here with Charter College, where I've served as the campus president for the past 5 years, and more recently as the program manager for our trades programs. Charter College is operated and was founded here in Alaska. It's operated for the last 37 years. I also serve as the chair of the commission for ACPE, and I'm here today to represent the feedback and student perspectives that I've heard and seen over the past 5 years at Charter College.
Please continue.
Thank you, Chair Bishop and members of the committee. I'd like to thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to provide testimony this morning on SB 94. I wanted to bring forward, as I mentioned, some student perspectives and feedback shared with me over the past 5 years while I operated as the campus president. During that time, we have heard repeatedly from students that they are challenged when making the decision to pursue the ASEL or the Alaska Supplemental Educational Loan because of the statutory limits that prohibit borrowers from exceeding set dollar amounts, which limit their educational and financial opportunities. As much has changed over the state landscape in the past few decades, and has been represented as indicated in the Alaska Economic Trends reporting on the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, Alaska continues to have challenges with high inflation, the highest in the last 30 years. We must account for these significant changes, including the cost of providing education, to maintain those higher educational opportunities within the state, as well as the cost of students attending educational pathways. The current statutes have unintentionally had adverse actions towards students looking to pursue loan options in Alaska. I believe that SB 94 expands the access for Alaskans pursuing education here at home, where the goal is to grow education to where 65% of Alaskan adults have some form of credential by 2025. Credentials such as a certificate, degree program, career, technical, trade program, apprenticeship, and more. SB 94 allows the Alaska Student Loan Corporation the opportunity to better assess student borrower needs, limitations, and to create a financial pathway that hasn't existed. I'd like to thank the committee for my time today, and I'd encourage this bill to move forward.
Thank you for your testimony. This concludes our invited testimony. The And we'll now open our public testimony. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify on Senate Bill 94? I'll check with the comms team, but I don't see anybody for public testimony. I think they're... Take a brief for these. I think... Okay, one last time. Anybody for public testimony? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have one final question. Under these loans, would these loans qualify similar to how a undergrad or graduate loan, first-time loan borrower? So if I have a school bill for $10,000, I qualify for a loan for $20,000. I take the full 20, they go to the institution then can issue me basically a check for the remaining balance. Could that happen under a refinance situation where I would qualify for a higher number for a refinance and I could take the difference out? You would pay the institution back, and then if it overpayment, then by overpayment go back to the borrower?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, for the refinance loans, it is only to cover what would be their current loan. So we have to have proof of this is an outstanding loan balance and the amounts that would come under and be able to be refinanced to get a consolidation loan. So there wouldn't be a difference there, again, because we would have proof this is your loan amount currently owed in this loan, this is your loan amount currently for this loan, and the consolidation of those would be the total, and then we would go through looking at their credit scores and what they would qualify for.
Okay.
So the refinance would only cover up to the total of those loans they're trying to consolidate.
Thank you.
Seeing no further questions, Senator Wilikowski.
Have you heard any opposition to this bill from the Bankers Association or banker groups?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, I have not.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no further committee discussion, we're going to set this bill aside and go to announcements. Next meeting is 1 p.m. on the agenda. SB 186, extend the Board of Examiners and Optometry. Senate Bill 222, extend partial and occupational therapy board, physical therapy and occupational therapy board, excuse me. SB 190, extend Regulatory Commission of Alaska. SB 203, Purple Heart Trail. And we are adjourned at 10:30.